It is 10:37 p.m. on Sunday, June 27, 2021, and this is Basketball This Week, done quickly. All right, so the Mavs have officially hired Jason Kidd. definitely a controversial decision, not as controversial as some decisions with decisions that I'll talk about later in this episode, but definitely controversial for sure. He's somebody. Just Google Jason Kidd and see what he's up against. He's somebody, you know, with a history of domestic violence. More on that later. I'll say it all at once, but you know, there's not only that, but he's not been very good as a head coach, so it's weird for sure. But although he does not seem like a good head coach to me and to other basketball minds per se, it does not seem like that same opinion is held by NBA players or by GMs and owners. For whatever reason, it seems like obvious bad coaching does not quite seem the same to them. So his name has been mentioned in every job that's been up for the last 2.5 years, last two and a half years. So him ending up somewhere as a head coach was inevitable. Glad he is leaving the team that I cheer for, the Lakers. Glad he's no longer going to be there, just because, yeah, that being associated with that just sucks. And also, he was in charge of the Lakers offense, and I'm sure you saw how the Lakers played offense this year. And then, more controversially, the Blazers ended up finalizing their hire of Chauncey Billups. The Chauncey Billups thing is a little bit more complex. It wasn't something that I knew about 3 weeks ago. It was something I heard briefly of when his name came up 3 weeks ago, but I wasn't really totally aware of the facts. It wasn't common knowledge to me. It's pretty bad though, at least what he's accused of. Damian Lillard had been out there saying that was his choice as a pick. So some fans definitely got on him when it became clear that Billups was going to be hired. And Lillard did not like that at all. But it's for sure got him some blowback. And he took that blowback and blew back. So now the indication is that, at least right now, as of today, he is talking to other teams and talking about leaving. Lillard is one of these people where the owners are, oh yeah, if Lillard ever wants to leave, I promise I'll move him. if you've been paying attention, the reality of that is never quite reality. Anthony Davis, the owner, had the same promise to him, and not only did she not fulfill it, she made sure to make sure his name was run through the mud before he got out of there. So, not only did she not fulfill it easily, you know, she did not help like she promised to help, you know. So, owners, you can't trust him for that sort of thing. But it definitely has, you know, Blazer fans kind of at war with each other right now. it was very few people who actually blamed Lillard for any of this. It was a very small portion, and like the guy he quoted in the tweet was a Toronto Raptors fan, so so I mean, it's not Lillard's fault for sure. He would have been a child, like a little child, when Chauncey Billups thing happened. So him not being aware of it is, it's not that weird. I wasn't a little child, and I followed the news pretty regularly. And well, no, that's not true at all. That's not even slightly true. I follow the basketball news regularly, and this is nothing I ever heard of. So, it's understandable that he didn't know. He just saw it. He was getting a good mind and wanted a good mind in there. So I get where he's coming from. the fan reaction, I'm not so sure of. Like, now a lot of Portland Blazers fans are saying, well, he just wanted out, and he's just using this as an excuse, which I don't know. I think that's what they want to think. I don't know what to think as far as him wanting out, if how true that is. I think cooler heads will prevail in a week or two, and I think that Lillard will be on the Blazers at the start of the season. I think he'll be there in training camp. I don't picture any trade happening. I mean, it's, when I say cool heads will prevail, maybe they shouldn't, you know. It's one of these things where maybe, okay, it's really complicated. Like, domestic violence is not like a thing that is, it's not a thing that most people, like, at the beginning of the day think, oh, I'm gonna get up and beat my wife today. It's not what a lot of people think. Sure, there's like sociopaths and stuff like that, but most people, it's not something they're like planning to do. It's usually like we live in a society. Oh, I hate that I said that, but we do. We live in a place where rape culture and abuse culture is commonplace, and dealing with our problems via machismo and male control and male force is very much encouraged, and the systems around us encourage that, and our media encourages that. Everything that we, in America at least, I don't want to speak for other places, but everything we experience here reinforces that violence is a way to solve your problems, and that the man has some sort of ownership over who he is dating. Not even who he's married to, just who he's dating. He has some sort of ownership. This is a commonly pushed thing in our society. Also, the idea that if you can get away with something, something sexual, then you should get away with it. It's very commonly said that no does not mean no. It's very commonly said that if somebody is doing something, then that's just permanent consent. They don't have the ability to withdraw consent. These are all commonplace ideas in our society, commonplace among men, especially men of Chauncey Billups' age when that would have happened. It's not excusing him by any means. There should be consequences for his actions, for sure. And it doesn't seem like there were significant consequences. But that's not uncommon. He's somebody who had a lot of money and the ability to avoid those consequences. But should it mean that he should never have a prominent job again? Maybe. You know, my feelings on this are very split. Ultimately, I do think it would be better for him to use that platform to educate the masses. And maybe this response to him being hired as coach is it'll be the consequence that forces him to do that. Seems pretty optimistic, and in fact, seems pretty naive of me to think that, just based on what the society has. where our society, where our society is at. So does that mean I think he should get a job where he makes millions and millions of dollars? Without some sort of, like, I believe in redemptive justice. It's just, it's complicated because there are so many people who get away with it, who have powerful jobs, that it's almost like, why start to single one person out? What we need is a societal change, not a, I don't know. But also, it's very unfair that he gets to have his job where he makes millions of dollars, and it's very unlikely that his victim is going to see any of that. If, you know, it's not an easy situation for sure. And I think I would prefer that he didn't have the job, just being like blunt, from like an emotional standpoint. From an intellectual standpoint, I don't know. Still probably no, but maybe the emotional standpoint is him taking the job and learning something and being able to redeem himself. I don't know. It's too complicated. This is not the place for it, except it is, you know. But regardless, Lillard is thinking, at least right now, he is demanding a trade. So we'll see what comes of that. Like I said, I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see what comes of it. All right, playoff reaction. Clippers and Suns had a couple of just awesome games, like really, really great. It kind of depends. Game 3, you may not think it's awesome if you like really close games. But if you like to see a team like just perfectly react to getting beat 2 games, and like you want to see a team like do adjustments and make changes, that is game 3 of LA Phoenix. The Clippers perfectly adjusted, and they beat the pants off the Suns. They made it happen. Campaign was out most of the game. Chris Paul was very rusty. So those are things that Phoenix could say. And those excuses sound a little more valid when you look at the results of the next game, where the Suns pretty much handled the Clippers in the next game. It wasn't as much of a blowout as the Clippers blew them out the game before, but Suns were never really in danger of losing game 4. It got close because like both teams at like it managed like 3 points combined in the first half of the fourth quarter, something weird like that. Everybody definitely tightened up, and you know, the Clippers were down 15 and got the game close, but they could never really get control of it. They never had control of it. Even though the Suns were not scoring, because, you know, Chris Paul and Booker were very not in a passing mood. That's just how I'll phrase that. Neither of those dudes felt like passing in the fourth quarter, and Booker ended up fouling out pretty about halfway through on a replay of all things. So bad luck on his part. And then Chris Paul was just hunting for that glory moment, and he didn't get it. So the Suns definitely suffered for it. But all the same, the game wasn't in their control. But man, it's looking pretty bad for the Clippers right now. They're 1 game away from elimination. You could argue that this could easily be 3-1 in their favor. Like you could make that argument. You could see how it could happen. It doesn't take many breaks for that to happen. But it's not. They're down 3-1, and it's looking bad for them. So that's a good series. I'm definitely interested in seeing the game tomorrow. Interested to see how the Clippers respond. interested to see if I'll be saluting somebody on Wednesday. Now, Bucks, Hawks. It's the Bucks' fault, but it's been bad. It's been really bad. Like, the Bucks were just, we already talked about game one. The Bucks are just dumb in game one, and the Hawks got that win. The Bucks are very smart in game two, and they just blew the doors off the Hawks. They had a 40-point lead at one point. I'm not going to lie. I slept through it when I saw. I woke up from a nap halfway through the second quarter and saw that the Bucks were up by 30. I think it was in the first quarter still that the Bucks were up by 30. It's like, I'm just going to go back to sleep. And then I accidentally slept two more hours. But I woke up and the Hawks had managed to bring it within 30. So, oh man. I watched some of the highlights. Not many from the Hawks. The Bucks just completely controlled them. They did the thing. Excellent response. If you like responses, that was an even better response than what the Clippers did. Then game three, it looks like everything the Bucks did, they just forgot. It was just back to the same old mess. Hawks jumped out to a 15-point lead. Kept it for a good while, but slowly but surely, like, Chris Middleton got involved. He remembered his game, and he just by himself pretty much carried the Bucks to, like, a very workmanlike, very boring win. So, I mean, you get it done how you get it done. Trae Young went down early in the fourth, or actually late in the third. And the Hawks just, they didn't, you know, Trae made it back by the fourth, but they didn't have it anymore by the time he got back. It was just, you could tell whatever sort of swagger they had was just out. And then Chris Middleton was just hitting every single shot. He hit like he was like 9 for 10 or something like that at one point. It was crazy. And the Bucks is a very, like I said, very workman-like win, but they won it. So that's 2-1 now. It's going to be sad when Clippers and Phoenix are over and all we got left is this dumb Bucks series every other day. But oh well. That's the playoffs sometimes. Anyway, hope you've been watching the playoffs. Hope you've been checking them out. It's good to talk to you all like usual. Be well, my beautiful friends, and I shall talk to you next time. Bye. Bye.